This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment. You've caught the vision. You want to serve God in every aspect of your family life, but sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. How do you get from principle to practice? What does it look like when you get there? How do you apply scriptural truth in a 21st century family? This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to, this is episode 90.
Really?
90. 90 okay. Episodes.
We've got to do something to celebrate when we get to 100.
When we get to 100, we'll do something special.
All right.
But anyway, episode 90 of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
And tonight we have left our boys somewhere else so that we can talk about boys and noise.
Yeah, that's true. Because, you see, you know, like they used to say on the old radio programs, we want you to keep those cards and letters pouring in. Well, an email poured in just today, and this was so good, I thought, you know what, we ought to just devote the program to this, because this dear sister has just opened up the whole peanut butter jar that every parent of boys has to deal with.
At some time or another, yeah.
At some time or another.
All right, she says, Dear Hal and Melanie, I know that you're busy and understand if you do not have time to answer my question, but I am desperate. I'm a homeschooling mom of four young boys. My husband and I are both firstborn, orderly, quiet, peace-loving people.
Mm-hmm. Cue the ominous music.
Yes. We love our boys, but we do not know what to do with all the noise and bickering. We try so hard to be consistent and disciplined. Sometimes I choose to yell because I feel so powerless over all the noise and chaos. It seems someone is always hurting another or being hurt. They fight over everything. Mm-hmm. If there were no Legos in the house, they would fight over a stick or a rock. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. We don't have a television or video games. We watch movies on the weekends streaming through a computer. But we're very picky on media. I do not allow electronics for the most part because I believe it hinders brain development. I know it would make our lives easier, but I'm concerned for the effect it has on their ability to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I go by better late than early, and I don't push academics at a young age. However, now that we're doing some academics, we have a negative attitude about school. We have an older son as well. He was an only child for 10 years. He loved learning and did not have any siblings to fight with, but we never had these issues with him. I feel powerless over my boys, and they're not even teenagers yet. Do you have any resources that you would recommend? I know that parenting is the way the Lord is sanctifying us, so I don't expect it all to be easy. However, I also don't think I'll feel powerless in parenting. Every day I cry out to God for help, but it's not getting any better. Please, any advice would be appreciated.
Okay, well, sister,
feel your pain.
We feel your pain. If you don't know us, we have six boys, and we have goodness. Let's see, they're all into their teenage years now.
Yeah, all the boys,
or the ones that have graduated and moved on, but. You know, yeah, all of what she describes is very, very, very familiar.
Oh, yeah, we've been there. Yeah. I remember when we had four boys eight and under, and I felt overwhelmed a lot.
Well, her four are eight and under. I did follow up on that email, and her older son has graduated and gone off things, but her younger four are eight and under. And
that's a pretty overwhelming place to be because they aren't very – they don't have a lot of ability to help at those ages. And
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the nadir. You know, when your oldest is six to eight, you've got three or four. That's kind of the maximum. Mommy needs to take care of everything, and there's nobody really to help much.
Right. And you know, I know we have friends who have long gaps in their children's sequence. And, you know, they tell us that, wow, when you've got 10 years between groups of children, it's like having separate families.
Yeah, it's like having a new family.
It's like starting over again. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe the first thing is to say, don't expect this group of four, the experience of raising these four, to be like the experience raising your older son as a single child.
And it will get easier as they get older. They're mm-hmm. going to be able to help more. They're going to be able, you know, it's going to get physically easier. But what about the noise level? You know, I think – I had one brother.
Yeah.
And we were fairly rowdy because I was kind of tomboyish.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that once we got more than one boy, it's like one boy plus one boy does not equal two boys worth of noise.
And that's right.
It equals much more than that.
Yeah, they can generate a lot of decibels. And, You know, frankly, some boys are noisier than others. We have
some boys are quiet and peaceful.
Yeah, we've had quiet, peaceable boys. Comparatively peaceful. But then we've also had some who were just their volume knob is all the way up or all the way up.
He's still that way. He's a teenager. You know, I think about it. I knew immediately who you were talking about.
Yeah.
One of our boys was the noisiest toddler in the world. It's like everything he did at full cry.
It was like a shout. And not angry, not crying, not whining, but it was just he's playing in the floor while you're trying to teach his older siblings, his older brothers, and he's saying, and the truck is going up the mountain, and the truck is coming over the top of the hill. And it's
When he plays as your indoor voice, you go, oh, I'm sorry, because he's a nice kid.
Yeah.
But then he'd go right back to being just as noisy.
We get down to the bottom of the hill, and we start back up the other side, and he gets higher and higher. And he just has
no awareness, no low setting at all.
So we've been there.
And, you know, I remember a friend of mine that had a bunch of girls came and watched my boys one time when I had to run an all-day errand.
Right.
And she was shell-shocked by the end of the day.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know how you stand it. She said, they go up the stairs, and just going up the stairs sounds like a herd of rhinoceroses being stampeded.
I saw a cartoon one time of a teenage boy coming down the stairs, and his parents come rushing out of the living room, and they're shouting, is anyone hurt? Is there any damage? No, he was just coming down the stairs.
Yeah.
But
well, I think part of it is boys love a loud noise because they love control and they love power and they love strong things.
I was thinking the power is a big part of it, just the energy.
Being able to impact your environment is really big for boys.
I remember that watching those little toddlers, it was one thing when they started to walk and they started to crawl. But when they discovered that they could grab a hold of a door and make a whole wall move, or at least felt like a wall to them, they could move something huge, went all the way up to the ceiling, and you could see the delight in their eyes.
Yeah.
That they could make something big happen.
Yeah, they just love to be able to impact the environment.
I think that's normal. I think that's part of God's design, because he does intend for them to be providers and protectors, and that kind of implies the movers and shakers.
Now, that can be really annoying.
That doesn't make it easy to raise.
No, it doesn't.
No. But you know, that was one thing. I'm thinking this. What would I tell a mother who's got a bunch of boys close together? You know, what would I say to encourage them? And that was one of the first things to say, well, recognize that boys are what God made them, and that they are typically noisy, active, energetic creatures.
And you don't want them to become little girls.
No, and we've got
that. As easy as that might be, and as tempting as it might be just for convenience, we really don't want that. So how can you make it livable for everybody?
Well, you do have to do that.
Well, you do. One thing I found is just teaching them how to be quieter. For example, even our youngest is a girl, but she is so noisy. She's wide open. And
always has been.
She's a mom's daughter. She's a tomboy.
Okay.
And an ultra feminine tomboy. Anyway,
all right.
She was doing jumping jacks, and it was shaking the whole house the way she was doing it. And I said, oh, hang on, honey. Let me explain. Look, you land on your toes. See how quietly you can land.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved. Now, boys, see how quietly you can land is not going to work.
Like, who cares?
Who cares? How boring. But you can say, all right, I want you to do it like special forces. I want you to walk like you're a commando.
Like you're
sneaking in as a ninja or a commando. See how quietly you can put your feet down and sneak up on the enemy.
You know, I had a friend.
Now, you don't want them to go commando. Teach them to wear underwear.
No, that's a different discussion.
Now, they don't like wearing underwear.
That's a different discussion.
But still.
But noisy.
And teach them to change it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's harder than teaching them to be quiet, I think.
Meanwhile, back in the ranch, now, we have some friends who who used to play this game with their kids called Silent Ship. And I suspect they must have watched an old submarine movie somewhere.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, when the submarine is under attack and the destroyer is overhead with the depth charges, your goal is to tiptoe and be as quiet as possible so the enemy can't hear you on the sonar. And they would try to play that game with their kids. Now, how effective, I can't say, but that was one they did.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the old inside voice, outside voice, those things are, that's real.
It is.
I think it's one of the things, you know, recognize that as we raise our sons, you know, we rejoice in all that God puts into them, even if it's inconvenient for us as parents.
Right.
But our part of our role is to civilize them.
Right.
To train them to control themselves.
Well, yeah, we've been having tea parties the past week with our girls hosting,
mm-hmm.
requiring the boys to show up with their best manners because they need to know how to act civilized at a nice event, but that's not going to be their main way of acting.
No, no, but they need to understand how to do it, when the time calls for it.
And, you know, in order to get a snack, they'll sure do it. But
and it's not selfish for mom to say, pardon, I'm going crazy. I need a nap. Can you play quietly for a half hour while I decompress?
Well, and it may be hard for him to remember. You know, I tried to take a nap this afternoon, and that didn't work very well.
No, I kept trying to. Well,
anyway.
I should have sent him outside.
Well,
anyway.
Sometimes we need to send him outside.
And that's okay.
But after, later this half hour, I want us to talk about the bickering and how do we deal with the ugliness and nastiness.
Because I think that's an important thing.
It is,
that,
because...
Well, no, what I was going to say, I think it's important to recognize that being noisy is not necessarily a sin.
Right.
It's not necessarily something you need to punish, but it is something that needs training.
And so we have to kind of balance it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say, okay, now's the time to be quiet, now's the time to be loud.
So allow some time to be loud.
Yes, let them knock over the blocks and make a horrible racket. They will love it.
You know, one thing we learned traveling with our boys back, even before we were doing the ministry thing, was to schedule rest stops in places where they could get out and just run circles or
yes.
climb rocks. Or one of the best things was to do field trips in the middle of the day, stop at like battlefields
yeah.
or you know, national parks or something, and just send them out. Just run. Go run. Burn off some energy. Because that's normal for a boy, and they do need that time, as well as the time. Now is the time to sit still and to be quiet while we're praying or
yeah.
listen to the story we're reading to the family or whatever. So all of those things are real.
And recognize that they're going to learn to sit down and be quiet, that it can be very difficult for a little boy to sit down and be quiet. And so don't expect him to do it for a long time. And he's getting more and more antsy and more irritable. And if he hates school, break up school with running up and down the stairs or doing push-ups or buy a little trampoline and have him bounce 100 times between pages.
Doing some PE in the middle of the morning may be a good plan.
Yeah.
I know we grown-ups sometimes try to think, well, we'll go for a walk first thing in the morning or after work or something. But for kids, it may be a lifesaver to do it in the middle of the day.
Well, one thing about boys is they learn better when they use the large muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes letting them rip out and run up and down the stairs or do some push-ups and make some noise and move around
mm-hmm.
actually helps them learn better when they come back.
It really does. Research has shown that.
Yeah.
And not just research in our household, but like academic research.
Academic research.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay, so I guess that's the first point. Boys are noisy. It's natural. It's bred into them. God put it there. And our job is to teach them to control it when appropriate. And that means sometimes, when do you let it rip?
When do you let it rip?
And sometimes, when you've got to put a cork in it.
Yeah. Usually here at the halfway mark, we talk about some of the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about Boyhead Bootcamp, we have a webinar series
mm-hmm.
that we have two webinar series, actually, one for parents of boys up to about age 8
yeah.
called Boyhood Bootcamp
mm-hmm.
that teaches you just all about this boy stuff. Why do they make noise? Why are they like they are? How do you teach them in the early years? How do you discipline them? How do you deal with media? All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's at raisinglittlemen.com/boyhood.
Right.
And we have one for boy, parents of boys 9 to 13 and 14 called Boot Camp 9 to 12.
And remember, these are boot camps for the parents.
Yeah.
Not, don't send us your boys.
Do not send
That's
us your boys.
That's your parents. Job.
Yes.
We have people send us those emails, too, and they said, where can I send my son? No,
no,
not,
we
that's
want to teach
it.
You to enjoy your boy.
We're going to teach you how to be a more effective parent. Yeah.
But there are webinars that you can either watch online or you can just download and watch them whenever you want to.
Sure.
Would that start another session of Bootcamp 9 to 12 live?
Yes, that's going to start in a couple of weeks. Yes.
And it's at raisingthemen.com/bootcamp.
Mm-hmm.
But check it out. If you want more information about why your boys are the way they are and how to be an effective, godly parent of boys.
Yep.
How to survive it and enjoy it, check it out.
Those are good.
RaisingThemen.com.
We have had hundreds of families
that
have gone through these programs over the past few years. And it's, you know what, I think you'll enjoy it.
Our correspondence question was more than that, though, Hal.
Yeah, she said
her boys are fighting.
That's...
And they're nasty to each other. They're mean to each other.
Yeah.
And she was questioning, how can this be when we don't let them watch media, we're careful about the movies, they're not playing violent video games.
That's wise.
I'll tell you how.
I'll tell you how. They were born human beings with a fallen, sinful nature.
Humans are born sinners.
And you know what? We bring the problems of our heart to the table every day. And I think, you know, she's right to say, we don't watch violent stuff. I don't let them get all jazzed up on all this media. That's right, because you know what? That's not creating something in them, that's encouraging something that's already there.
Right. And so you're doing a good thing not to encourage that stuff, but they've still got that aggressiveness in them and competitiveness that's coming out the wrong way.
And so you've got a lot on the plate there. I mean, she described a lot of things, you know, in the relationship and relationship between parents and children and between the children themselves, and you're not going to be able to fix everything all at once.
No, it's going to take a while. Can we share some of the ground rules that we have that have helped us through this? Because we've had these same issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's real.
One of the biggest ground rules is, for me, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Book of James, yes.
It does no good for me to get mad. When I get mad, when I yell, when I lose it, it does not motivate them one bit.
Now, don't feel bad if you need to raise your voice to be heard.
Oh, because you're probably going to need to raise your voice to be heard.
In fact, I tried this out. I remember we had a friend who told us, well, if you need to get your child's attention, you need to lower your voice.
Oh.
You need to whisper. Because,
this was the friend with all girls, right?
Right. And I tried it with that little girl, you know, and you say, I've got a secret. Wow, she's on top of that. But, you know, with the boys,
they don't even hear you.
Boys, you do need to raise your voice and speak more emphatically to get their attention. That's not the same as losing it.
Yeah, don't lose it because it doesn't do any good. And I have a tendency to lose it, but I found out it doesn't do any good. And so remember, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. I've repeated that to myself at least a quadrillion times in our parenting.
Okay, but what do you do when you're frustrated out of your skull?
Okay, enforce some ground rules.
Yeah.
Ground rule. You can pest and tease and wrestle and fight, do this kind of thing. But if anybody says stop or no, it stops immediately. Or the person who keeps doing it is a bully and they're in big trouble. They get disciplined.
You know, there was a rule when I was in the Air Force. I was not a pilot, but reading the things the pilots wrote, they had a rule when they did training exercises and they're dogfighting with their jets up there. They had a rule that if anybody had a mechanical problem or something went wrong, they would simply call knock it off on the radio, and that they would immediately break off whatever they were doing because that meant something was wrong, something was in trouble, stop immediately.
That's a great rule.
And that's a great rule. If, you know, to say if anybody squawks, then everybody backs off. Disengage, stop the argument, stop the wrestling, and make sure everything's okay.
Because they do love to wrestle and try their strength against each other, and it annoys me. I'll tell them, take it outside. You know, take it in your own room. Get out of my living room.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not doing any harm. But if somebody says stop, if somebody says no, it's got to stop immediately.
Yeah.
Another ground rule, don't call each other names.
We've got a rule that your home should be a safe harbor for you.
Yeah.
You know, that whatever's out there in the world, and there's hostility and there's competition and things that, you know, it's going to be disappointment out there. But when you come home, you should be completely safe. And that means you should know that your brothers and sisters are not going to attack you. They're not going to stab you in the back or undermine you, and you're not going to do it to them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a fundamental family rule throughout our children's lives, that, you know, home is a safe place. And so, yeah, we don't call names. We don't use nicknames without permission. You know, anytime somebody's offended, you make note of that, say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm sorry. Because people trip over things. They don't sometimes.
Yeah, nastiness and meanness are not allowed. They are discipline.
Yeah.
You know, the verse for that is in Proverbs, where it says six things are which the Lord does hate, and seven which you cannot stand.
Yeah.
And it lists all these horrible sins.
Oh, yeah.
Murder, conspiracy, false perjury.
Yeah, perjury.
And then it ends.
One who sows discord among brothers.
Yeah, one who causes trouble among the brothers.
That's Proverbs 6:16 through 18, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And that made me realize we really had to discipline the nastiness. We could not allow one to cause trouble among the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of what causes this, I think, is that urge to compete. And I think it's hardest at the ages yours are, because there's such a tremendous difference between an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, or an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
When they're all like 15 to 19 and they're all 6 feet tall and they can compete on a pretty much level playing ground, it actually gets much easier, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? I remember teaching a Sunday school class in this age range, and the range of development was so wide that you have some who are like preteens. I mean, there's some that are starting adolescence, and you got some that are still, you know,
babies.
Yeah, little baby fat kind of kids, and that's all in that same age group. And so it's really important to teach the older ones to take responsibility to be a big brother.
Right.
Not to be a big bully, but to be.
And ask them, how does your father act toward you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, help them to picture what a compassionate guy who's confident in his strength treats a smaller, weaker person.
You know, to recognize that an older brother can become a hero to a younger brother if he shows himself to be
worthy
of it. Yeah.
Yeah, encourage him to be a hero. They want to compete. But competing with one another at those ages is so unfair, it causes resentment and ugliness. So some things you can do is encourage them to compete against themselves.
Okay,
let's see how fast you can run this.
Uh-huh.
If you can beat your time, you'll get a treat.
Uh-huh.
You know, encourage them to compete against themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As they get a little bit older, you can encourage them to play on teams, like the oldest with the youngest,
mm-hmm.
middle with the other middle, you know, so that
it's more balanced out. Yeah.
But at the ages you are, it's hard to even do that. And so I think talking it through with them, helping them see, you know, when you play with mama, do you want me to play as hard as I can? Because you would lose every time.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like it if you lost every time?
Right.
And help those older ones to see that. It's hard, but the rewards of building a comradely friendship
mm-hmm.
among your boys when they're young, man, it's huge when they get to be adults.
That was an unexpected thing for me, because I had a little sister. I had no brothers, and there was 4 years between me and my sister. And so we were never in the same school together. We didn't really share friends. And so we were kind of, in a way, we were sort of part-time only children, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And to see our kids growing up closer together, and we were homeschooling everybody, and so everybody is together all day long, the whole family, and to see the relationships that they build, to see that family unity developing between them and that network of relationships, that was a surprise to me. It's been a real blessing.
Oh, it really has been. You know, this past weekend, our 20-year-old was finishing up an internship in New York City. And his 25-year-old brother decided he would take a bus up there and help him pack out, spend the weekend with him and help him pack out and come home. And seeing their pictures as they explored New York City together and the joy in their eyes of sharing that adventure.
The comradeship between them.
It was such a blessing. But that starts at these young ages.
Yeah.
And just so you don't allow name calling.
Right.
Or nastiness.
Right.
You encourage them to compete either in teams or on the same team or against themselves and not to compete with each other because it's just not fair at the ages they are.
Yeah, because bullying behaviors, when one uses his strength or his greater abilities to put down someone who hasn't reached that level.
Yeah. And pestering is when someone uses their position as a younger sibling who maybe should be protected to poke and prod and get the older one in trouble.
And then scream for mom.
So we don't want either one of those.
No.
We want to encourage that unity and the love for each other, encouraging them to do things for each other, praising them when they do things for each other, giving them the idea of doing things for each other.
Maybe work, getting them to work in pairs on projects or something. Say, hey, how about the two of you take a turn doing this or whatever?
Help your younger brother do this. You know, one thing we did when it got really bad is I took a, one of those little elastic things that put somebody in.
A bungee cord.
And I bungee corded the two of them by their
belt loops. So they like couldn't get more than 6 inches apart.
Well, they had about 3 feet.
Oh, okay. So they had a little bit of space.
They had about 3 feet, but they couldn't get it apart. And it was hilarious because it united them all right. It united them against me, but it did unite them. Actually, they got along much better because they were really angry at first. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the day, they were laughing, and they'd gotten over a lot of their ugliness to each other.
You know, I want to encourage you, too, as you're going through this time period, recognize they're not going to be mature. You know, we look at our 20-year-olds and our kids in the 20s and say, wow, what a blessing. Yeah. They were not that way when they were 8 and 5, 6, and And so this is a time when they're still developing, you're still training them. There's going to be 2 steps forward, 1 step back, maybe 3 steps back some days, and that's normal.
But there's still a lot of hope.
There is.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff there. It takes consistency. You're going to have to teach them how to be quiet. You're going to have to teach them how to be civilized.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have quiet times and noisy times, and you have to have ground rules for their interaction with each other and hold them accountable. And you know what? It's going to get better.
It will.
It's going to get better. It's going to get easier. It's going to get to be a lot more fun. And, Hal, we just got a message that your mother is here at her house, and she needs our help.
Does she?
So,
well, would you like to sign off here and let me go see what she needs?
Yes.
Probably needs something carried in.
Yes, she needs the walker, honey. So
oh,
her knee must be hurting.
Her knee must be bothering her. Okay.
So, folks, we're Real Life here. This is Hal and Melanie Young.
Yep.
With Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we are grateful for your listening. We're grateful for your being here. Please tell others about the show, and we love meeting you. When you come up and introduce yourselves at a conference, it's a huge blessing to us. Thank you so much for all that you do.
So we do appreciate your spending time with us this week and every week. And if you don't get to hear us live, you can catch us on iTunes or come to the website at halandmelanie.com/radio.
All right, folks. See you next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.
The moderator has left the conference.